Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading from just verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrightwiseness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this privilege once again to assemble together in thy name, knowing, Father, that we may not have very many more opportunity to do so as we see the end time quickly phasing out. We see the trouble at every hand. We see the marks of the economy sliding into a dump. We see the plagues are just on the horizon. We see the nations at war. And you said there'd be rumors of war and wars and rumors of war and all these things. And then you said, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. And so, Father, we ask you to be with us tonight as we continue to study in this series on the end time events. And, Father, we ask that you'd bless this study and help it, Lord, to create an atmosphere in our lives. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For the wrath of God is revealed. It means that's apocalypsis. That's to lay open, to make known, to uncover. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodlikeness, and that's lacking reverence toward God, and unrightwiseness of men who hold down or hinder or suppress the truth in an unrightwise manner. Now here Paul is speaking of the wrath of God that will come upon all those who withhold the truth, who suppress it, or hinder it by holding it back from the people, that which has been vindicated by a true and by the very essence of God's phaneru, absolutely declaring his word. Now, in Matthew 23:13, we read also, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. And so we've seen, even in this message, where we've had the different camp mentalities and all this other, but, you know, there's still a truth out there. And the fact is that we've had men, because of their camps, suppress the truth and hold it back from the people. And he says in verse 19, for that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. God hath fanerued it unto them. In other words, we've seen a manifestation of God in a way that we haven't seen of God in 2,000 years. And in other words, he's openly manifested in his true character, and yet they still turn it down. Now, this takes his personal presence to do this. Therefore, the scripture could not have been fulfilled in any other age. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead or Godhood, so that they are without excuse. Now, God had done all those things, and they weren't done in a corner, as Brother Vail would say so many times. If God had done them in a corner, they wouldn't be accountable. But because God did it, and that ministry went around the world seven times, they are accountable. But these know what God has done, and they turn away from it. And so they're without a defense, or they're defenseless. And I think it's interesting that they are defenseless. Like Eve, when she went out from the protection of the word, she became defenseless. And in this hour, we have AIDS, which brings the body system to a becoming defenseless. Anyway, But these know what God has done, and yet they turn away from it. Therefore, they're without excuse. And this word excuse is a Greek word which it actually means defense or defenseless. Therefore, they have left themselves defenseless, just like Eve did back in the garden when they stepped out from behind the protection of the word. And then what happened? The serpent inoculated her with a germ that upon entering into her blood brought forth death. Now think about that. That's all a sperm is. It's just a little germ. It brought forth death. Death. The day you eat thereof is the day you die. So death enters into the human race. Now, why do we bring this in here? Because that's exactly what Paul is telling us, you know, it will happen when people turn down the word. When did they turn it down? 1956. By turning down God's mercy, there is nothing left but wrath. This then is the same as we see in Hebrews 6, where God shows himself forth in a once-for-all enlightenment, and still they turn it down. Then there is nothing left for God to do but send forth the plagues and his judgments. Then what we're looking at in Romans 1:18-28 is the wrath of God, which are the judgments of God that has determined for those who openly and willfully turn away from the truth and willfully withhold it from others. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him, not as God. Therefore, these are men who knew better, but they would not give him the proper glory and respect. And it says, neither were they thankful, but they became vain or empty or worthless in their questioning of the truth. And their foolish hearts, their unintelligent or without understanding, were clouded and darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed or substituted the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, homosexuality is a result of turning down the word. All right? It's a curse. And he says here that because they turned away from their protection, God will give them up to their own heart's desire. And homosexuality is the curse for turning down the word. People think, well, you know, God's against homosexuality. Sure he is. That's a curse. That's a curse. Revelation 22 and 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And Romans 1:26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For what cause? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed or substituted the truth of God into a lie. So because they substituted the truth into a lie, God says, okay, substitute it all. So instead of one man, one woman, it's become substitutions. You see? And they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues written in the book. And then verse 26 again. For this cause God gave them up to vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over unto a reprobate mind, that's a mind that could not stand the test, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness or unright wiseness, in other words, wrong understanding, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. See, all these things begin with the unrighteousness. It says, being filled with unrighteousness, with a wrong understanding, it leads to fornication, it leads to wickedness, it leads to covetousness, it leads to maliciousness, it leads to being full of envy, it leads to murder, it leads to debate, it leads to deceit, it leads to malignity, it leads to whisperers. They become backbiters and haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, they become covenant breakers, faithless. Without natural affection, they become implacable. That means unbending, unsatisfied, inflexible. rancorous and relentless. In other words, they become unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, Brother Branson, that's TV. That's watching them do those things on the movies and you enjoy it. Not only do they do them, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Now, a couple weeks ago, we looked at the curses of Deuteronomy 28 concerning how God deals with those people who have turned down his voice, which is his word, his prophet. And every time God opens a seal in heaven, or a mystery is declared, and we see through the seven church ages, every time that an angel messenger from God came on the scene, he also brought with him a vial. When he came, there was a trumpet, a trump sounded, and then he brought a vial. And so when the message was rejected in each of those ages, God sent down a temporary plague, a temporary judgment for those who rejected his mercy. I'm going to show you a chart tonight just to help you understand that in each age there were certain plagues that were brought. These temporary judgments for each age show in type the great judgments to come. In each age, an angel messenger was sent forth with a trumpet and vial full of plagues, which is the wrath of God. It's interesting, if you read this in the book of Revelations, I don't have it laid out for you tonight that way, but if you notice that each of the seven angels had a vial, but the seventh angel had seven vials. God then sends temporary judgments for each church age, shown in type of the great judgments that are to come. In each age, an angel or messenger was sent forth with a trumpet and a vial full of plagues, which is the wrath of God. Now the question is, how will those plagues come? And by what means? And the answer is in the scripture, as we'll see as we continue to read. For this cause, verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. Well, what's a vile affection? What does the word vile suggest? It means morally base and evil. It's depraved. And notice then what Paul tells us that they do as a result of this vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet. Now before we go any further, let's just look at what Paul is telling us here. He's saying that the first of all, that when they turn down mercy, and then there's only one thing left, and that's judgment. Mercy, then judgment. Hence the wrath of God. Now how does this wrath of God come upon them? That's the question. Does God send down lightning bolts and kill the people, innocent as well as the non-innocent? Does God send them pestilence and earthquake because they're innocent or because they're not innocent? No. God never destroys man. Man destroys himself. Man brings on his own judgment. As Brother Brown said, he must be in the spirit of destruction for destruction to come. I think it's interesting that we have fools in the White House today, and I can call them fools because they are, and they've totally abandoned the principles that this nation was founded under, and the people put them in there. The people love to have it so. And the fact is that these guys would want to, in fact, not only want to, but they actually are trying to blame something that was, you know, on a certain country. And so they want to go after that country. And then when their bluff was pulled, you know, the Russians came up with a 100-page document showing that it wasn't the Syrians that did the destruction by chemicals. It was actually Hamas. And we knew it because we gave those chemicals to Hamas, or they got them from someplace. And we've been spending billions of dollars funding these people, so they know what's going on. And it's just one lie after another lie after another lie, and there is no repentance. The message trumpets declared; it's already been declared. Grace and mercy went forth into all the world, but did they receive it? Nope. So that leaves one thing, and that's judgment. Notice in Deuteronomy 28, it says, the foreigner shall come in and become the head. How did he get there? The people voted it in. The people are so anti-Christ that they voted in their own destruction. So I don't feel sorry for America. Brother Brown said, I don't pray for America, and I don't either. Not anymore. then the judgments match the judged. Now think about that. He says in Romans 9:22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now watch that word, fitted to destruction. The word fitted comes from a Greek word which means they are prepared for. If I fit something to something else, then what I am doing is preparing the thing to match the other. In other words, like a gear, it fits. Like a glove, it fits. And the judgment fits the judged. That's how the laws are written. You know, you don't go out and take and hang some because they stole a gumball. You give them a lighter punishment. But someone who kills, who takes life, they take their life. The judgments fit the judged. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They take their own way above God's way. The Bible says that they will be stoned with hailstones weighing 100 pounds. Why? Because they're adulterous. They have an idolatrous or an adulterous spirit. And the Old Testament law was you stone the adulterous. So in getting back to Romans 1, we saw how that they turned down the mercy of God, and yet so far, all we see is that they begin to lean toward a vile affection. And yet right after this, Paul says, likewise, also men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving the recompense, receiving in themselves a recompense of their error, which was me. So I see here the order of the plagues. Number one, God sends forth a message of repentance, which is a call to change your mind, to change your thinking. Number two, they then turn down the mercy of God. Number three, their minds, having turned away from God, turns toward each other. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. Number four, they do an evil act, men with men, women with women. And five, thus receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, what does the scripture mean by recompense of their error, which was meet? In other words, you will reap what you sow. They sow error and they receive death. The word recompense means payback. And that which was meet means that which was owed to them. Therefore, the plagues are their payback. In other words, when he comes with great power and glory, great doxa, what does the Bible say? Every man, what? Will receive the reward for the deeds he's done in his flesh. Now, how does the HIV virus work? The DNA creates RNA. The transcription DNA writes code to the RNA. The cell is called a messenger cell. I think it's interesting that the AIDS virus, or the RNA cell, is called a messenger cell. It goes forth to a preplanned function. But AIDS is a false messenger. In other words, the DNA works by a whole... how many have not seen the genome? Where, you know, they have the little genes and they have the DNA strand. All right. Each of those is a code to tell the body to do certain things. Like you've got some and you'd have your hair curly. All right. Some of us don't have that gene. I wish I did. But anyway, the DNA calls for each cell to function in a certain way. It's their plan. Just like predestination is a plan. God plans for you to do a certain way. Now, what happens is the HIV is an RNA. And it goes forth and it attaches itself. It's a false messenger. It actually reverses and rewrites the code. So it attaches itself to the DNA, then goes into the DNA and rewrites the code in the DNA. Now, how it works is that the AIDS virus is an RNA cell with its own code. It attaches itself to the DNA and causes the DNA to become an AIDS factory. HIV invades the T cells, which are the defense mechanism cells. When they are invaded and their code is rewritten, they become defenseless, leaving the person defenseless. It's like a virus coming into your computer. It comes in through a back door somehow. And when it comes in, then it writes a string of code. And that's why the antivirus systems, how they work, is basically they have a string of antivirus and they go out and do a search for that code of the virus in your computer. If it finds it, it takes the whole piece and it puts it into a vault, or basically a secured place on your hard drive. And then it asks you if you want to delete it or whatever. Well, that's how Satan, using the germ, and I believe AIDS is nothing but it's a spirit. As Brother Brown said, these are demons. And it comes into a person's body because the person opened themselves up because they stepped out from behind the protection of the word. Thou shalt not have any other, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not. Look, this guy here in out in Missouri or someplace, 300, just recently, 300 partners. And like Brother Vail said, the average was having like 10, and if the person had 10 and each of those persons had 10, then basically you're picking up cells from 100 different people, or demons from 100 different people. So when they are invaded and their code is rewritten, they become defenseless, leaving the person defenseless. Therefore, they are without excuse. In other words, they are left defenseless. The AIDS virus does not kill you. It just strips your body's defenses. And other things kill you, like flu or cold or TB, or just about any mild disease or illness. The day you eat thereof is the day you die. Notice 25. It's a substitute. Now, before we deal more specifically with the wrath of God, let's continue in 128. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that could not stand the test, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. They fall into it first of all, they fall into fornication, then wickedness or depravity, covetousness, greed, maliciousness, desire to injure, or full of envy, it says, which is hatred because of jealousy. And this leads to murder, which is what Cain did, for the very same reason. Other attributes include debate, which is strife or variance, deceit, malignity, which is evil influence, which caused them to become whisperers or secret slanderers. In other words, backbiters and haters of God and despiteful. This means that they heap insulting language. They become proud. That's overabundance of self-esteem. They become boasters and inventors or contrivers of evil things, disobedient to parents. It's like we have this guy, he's a joke. And I don't mean, I'm not going to hold back. The man in office is a joke. He's an imposter. He doesn't belong there. But you notice every time he talks, he says, well, I will do this. And, well, I will do that. It's not we. It's not we've decided. It's not, I met with the Joint Chiefs and we've decided. I met with the Joint Chief and I decided. Very pompous and, like the Bible says, very arrogant and very, very rancorous and, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And since they turn down mercy, they become unmerciful. They turn down faith and become faithless. What a wicked condition that is. Therefore, the judged fit themselves to their judgment. They cause the judgments themselves. They fit themselves to them. Now, we're promised that God's wrath will deal with these people at the end time. And we have found that the judgments of God, which we're reading about here, are brought to earth at the time of the seventh angel's message. And remember when Brother Branham threw the rock into the air and the judgments of God began in the earth a couple of days later, Alaska was almost destroyed by an earthquake. He had to do something to get them started, just like Moses threw up ashes into the air to bring forth the judgments in his day. Well, thus the people also had to do something to bring the judgments to them. Therefore, we see in the scriptures that in each age there is a messenger that comes forth with a message. And when the people reject that message, then God sends down a plague as a temporary judgment. It just so happens at the end, the last age, we will have seven times. It's seven times hotter. Now, Revelation 15:1 says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. So notice there are seven angels and one has a plague. Then in Revelation 15:7 we read, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who live forever and ever. Now here we see more specifically that these last plagues are contained in the seven golden vials. Then in Revelation 16:1, he says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth." Now notice what he told these angels. Notice that each one is told to go his way. What is his way? It is the message for the hour. Now Psalm 103:7 says, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." So if they were to go their way, then they had to go with that. Well, as it says, he made known his ways unto Moses. In other words, the very pattern of God, the very characteristics of God. Now, Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." So when we're talking about the way, and these went in their way, then they had to go because they were the revealed word for their day. All right. Psalm 119:30 says, "I have chosen the way of truth. The judgments have I laid before me." In fact, in John 14:6, we hear Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we know that he is the word. Therefore, these angels are sent, each one, on his way, which is his message, with his message, and they also bring with them the vials full of God's judgment. Now, from the first seal, paragraph 63, Brother Branham said, "And he sent forth the first messenger, and he preached, and the trumpet sounded," as we pick it up after a while. "And while the trumpet was declaring war," trumpet always denotes war, "the messenger, the angels, come on each on earth, the messenger of the hour, like Luther's, like any of the messengers that we've talked of. And what does he do? He arrives, and a seal is opened. It reveals a trumpet sounds. War is declared, and away they go. And then the messenger dies. He seals away this group, and they're put in, and the plagues fall upon those who rejected it." See? And then it goes on. Then they organize, get another organization, and we've just come on through that. Now, what are we driving at then here this evening? What I'm trying to address to you is this. It's later than we think. Too much tomfoolery going on. People still letting their feelings get hurt. People letting others keep them from the word. We ought to be beating down the doors to come in, not doing all we can just to sidestep. He said, look, I want you to notice something. We hear Paul talking about the wrath of God that will fall upon those who hold back the word of God in an unright, wise manner. Now, we've seen that each messenger comes, there's a message, and each message is a gospel trumpet that's declaring a mystery that had been sealed, but is now being declared and it's in its ordained age. And when that seal is broken and that message goes forth, it starts a spiritual warfare that ends with rejection and judgment. Now, if you think that you can sit in this message and not be in a warfare, you're just fooling yourself. Go to the Billy Graham crusade where everything's just peachy keen. You can dress any way you want to, act any way you want to. Go out to the bars. Go fornicate. Oh, that's okay. Just come back next week and, you know, just ask Jesus into your heart again. That's Sodom. And if you want Sodom, it's out there. This is the hour, brother, sister, that we are ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And Brother Branham said, the bride, God, you know, look, he's been waiting 50 years. He said that in 1956. He said the rapture should have taken place in 1906. God's waiting on us. Each message is a gospel trumpet that declares a message. And then when that message is rejected, God sends judgments. In the first seal, he said, he come in the first age, the Ephesian age, revealed, sent the messenger. Notice what happened as we go along. Here's a plan of it. The first thing happens, there is an announcement in the heavens first. What happened? A seal is open. What is that? A mystery is unfolded. See? And when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds that declares a war. Or a plagues fall and the church age opens. See? What is the war part? The angel of the church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. But when he does, he catches this mystery of God. And then he goes forth to the people. And after the mystery has been given to him, he goes forth to the people. And what does he do out there? He begins to proclaim that message. And what does it start? A war. A spiritual war. I think we've seen our share. Okay, then what happens? Those who believe the message enter into it and are sealed away and hidden from the plagues, hidden from the judgments. But those who reject are sent to the plagues to destroy them for rejecting the message for their age. And why does Brother Branham call them temporary, those plagues, temporary judgment? Because they are just showing what is in store for them at the white throne judgment. Because that's just the beginning. Again, from the first seal, Brother Branham says, and then God takes his messenger with the elect of that age and lays them away asleep. And then he drops a plague upon them that rejected it, a temporary judgment. And then after that is over, then he goes on and they denominate and they bring in denominations and start off with that man's work, a man's work like Wesley and all the rest of them. And then it gets all scrupled up again. And then another mystery comes forth. Then what happens? Another messenger arrives on the earth for a church age. See? Then when he arrives, the trumpet sounds. He declares war. See? And then what happens? Finally, then he's caught away. And then when he's laid away, then plagues falls down and destroys them. Spiritual death hits the church and she's gone, that group. Now notice the plague, spiritual death. You know, he said spiritual death in that last age. I mean, in Jesus' day, spiritual death was the last plague. I believe spiritual death is the first plague in this hour, because that which is last is first and that which is first is last. And we've already seen spiritual death creeping into the churches. Notice, spiritual death hits the church and she's gone, that group. Then he goes on to another one. Oh, it's a great plan until it comes to the last angel. Now, he has no certain mystery, but he gathers up all that's been lost in them other ages, all the truths that wasn't truly revealed yet, see, as the revelation comes. Then he reveals those things in his day. And if you want to read it, there it is, Revelation 10 and 1 to about 4. You get it, all right? Now notice, Brother Branham speaking of God having a plan here. He says, here's a plan of it. The first thing happens, there's an announcement in the heavens first. What happened? A seal is opened. What is that? A mystery is unfolded, see? And when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds that declares a war or the plagues fall. Now, if there is a plan, then these things are foreknown. And if they are foreknown, then God always knows or foreknows those who will receive this seal and those who will not receive it. Then when the seal is broken and declared, it seals in one group and seals out the other group. Now the plan of it is this. Number one, a seal is open. That's right. That's number one. And what does a seal being broken do? It allows you to see what was locked up and kept previously from view. Therefore, by faith, we are able to see what God is revealing, because faith is the first thing. It is the foundation stone, and all that cannot receive the revelation for the hour they live are therefore faithless. Number two, when the seal is broken, it actually allows for us to see, and by seeing it, it seals us in. But by rejecting it, rejecting to look, the others, all others, become sealed out. Then what's happening here? One group is locked in, the other is locked out. That's what we call separation. Now, from the token, Brother Brown said, likewise, we must remember that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He always sends his signs, his wonders. And then when he gets ready to do anything, he separates the believer from the unbeliever. And notice then how he provided for his promised land people. Look what he did for the promised land people there, to be sure that they would not be mixed up in some kind of an ism. What did he do? He sent a prophet to them, Moses, with a message identifying God's word. And to identify Moses, he sent the pillar of fire that hung over him. Amen. Then to give him the perfect assurance, he required a token. Amen. There's a messenger, the message, and the vindication, that's the presence, and the token. The perfect assurance that they had nothing to worry about. No matter how many plagues strike, whatever anybody else says, they are sealed away. So the separation by revelation always begins a warfare, a spiritual warfare. It always has. In the beginning, Michael disputed with Lucifer, and then warfare broke out. Then on earth, Cain disputed with Abel over the revelation. And really, he was, you know, I mean, war broke out. But really, what was he doing? He was disputing with God. Then after the dispute, Cain killed Abel. Warfare. It's been the same in every age. Look at Jacob and Esau. Revelation received by one and rejected by the other. A dispute, then warfare. Look at Joseph and his brothers. Revelation received by one, the same revelation rejected by others. A dispute, and then warfare. The same in Moses' day. Revelation received by one, the same revelation rejected by others. A dispute, and then warfare. Daniel's day, the same thing. Elijah's day, the same thing. David's day, the same thing. In fact, we find this example entirely throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. A revelation, a dispute over the revelation, then warfare. So what's new? We've been through twice now with presence and Godhead, and now we're on our third round with he that believeth. Number three. Those who are sealed in are protected from the judgments that are to follow, and those who are sealed out are fitted for destruction. Now, I just had a thought that just came, and I'll just lay this on you. All right. As we get to the pyramid, the top of the pyramid, it begins to hone down, hone down, hone down. There's got to be a lot more turns in the road. Under Luther, they turned out justification, one big loop. Wesley, one big loop, sanctification. 1906, Azusa Street, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then God brings a prophet, and it's just one after another after another. You got serpent seed, you got, you know, end time prophet, you got all these different things that he brought, presence, vindication, all these things, just honing, 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 honing. Getting down because it's got to shake off, got to shake off. Revelation comes, people reject it, gets less. Revelation comes, people reject it. There's warfare, gets less. You see? So it's got to come down to where there is just a handful. Literally, not a whole lot. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls are saved. Number three, those who are sealed in are protected from the judgments that are to follow. And those who are sealed out are fitted for their destruction. They fit themselves. Romans 9:22 says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, what does this word fitted to destruction mean? The word fitted to is a Greek word which means they are prepared for it. If I fit something to something else, like I said, it's like, or like we say, fitting like a glove. Like when O.J. Simpson put on a wet glove, or a glove that had been wet and now had shrunk, it didn't fit. So they said if it didn't fit, they acquit. Well, these people are fitting themselves to their judgments. Brother Bram said that there couldn't have been a fish with a fin until there was a first water to swim in it. Then who prepares them? God made them for destruction. He made some to honor, he made some to dishonor. But he has left them with a free moral agency to prepare themselves. And how do they prepare themselves for destruction? And isn't it interesting that the bride hath made herself ready? She was prepared before the foundation of the world, and she prepares herself with the word. Look, the bride has to dress herself. Now, she has help, of course. But, you know, she just doesn't have somebody, you know, just put her into a shoebox and just put her into a slide. She slides into the dress and it's done. She has to put her arms and she has to put her, you know, the rest of her body in. And she has to prepare herself. And so these people prepare themselves and you're preparing yourselves. You see, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. They prepare themselves. From preparation, Brother Ram said, I believe the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction that the world will ever know. I believe we're at the end. You can speak to people. You could put a Billy Graham in every city in the United States. They drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes and laugh at you and everything else just the same. They are in the spirit of the last days, and God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit for destruction. God never did destroy anything. Man always destroys himself. The message trumpet has declared grace and mercy for all those that would receive it. And those that would reject mercy, there's nothing left but judgment. From planting the vine, Brother Brown said, planting the vine and where to plant it. He said, in the scriptures we find that Jambres and Jambres worsted Moses by doing practically the same thing he did, by casting down the rod and turning to a serpent. Moses called for plagues, and they could call for plagues too, but they couldn't heal because God is the only healer. But they could cause plagues to come, then Moses took them away. From juncture of time, he said, we got the impersonators, we got people pretending to be when they're not. And the people said, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth in the last days at the junction we're at now. And there stood Jannes and Jambres when Moses threw down and performed a miracle of God. They impersonated it and done a miracle too with their stick. And Moses called for plagues and they called for plagues. It's the devils turned loose. And notice that they're called reprobates concerning the truth, and they have a reprobate mind. And this is what Paul is also speaking of concerning the wrath of God coming against all that would hold back the truth and unrighteousness, which is a wrong understanding. And then Brother Brown says, and as he goes down into Egypt, He took his stick and cast it down and healed his hand with leprosy and done those things. Then I want you to notice every time the miraculous was done, Satan always there to counterfeit it. And as he was counterfeiting it in that day, he's still the same counterfeiter today. Even his counterfeits only point to the end time that we are at the junction. He had some old soothsayers down there by the name of Jambres and Janus who stood up, and they could throw their rods down, turn them to serpents and so forth, and do like they did. But God vindicated who was God's. They could bring plagues, but they could not perform divine healing. Now this brings another thought. We can see that God has a plan, and in his plan he is to bring forth a message. And he knows those who will receive it because he has ordained them to receive it, as we find in Acts 13:48. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What seal? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now God, knowing then who would and who wouldn't believe, he then prepares his messenger for the task at hand, and each is given a golden vial which contains the wrath of God. So before the angel messenger even show up on earth, he has been given a vial that has death in it. And yet that death cannot touch those with the seal of God, for God has commanded that not to touch them. Revelation 7:1-3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. So, if you notice that, Don, you're into this kind of stuff, you'll notice that there was no wind. There was nothing. But he said, wait. That's your job to do it, but wait until those that are sealed in are out of here. Hallelujah. From Questions and Answers Hebrews. Let's get Revelation, the 7th chapter, and we'll find out what it is. It's a beautiful thing. This is Brother Brown from Q&A on Book of Hebrews. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. This parallels Ezekiel 9. Where he saw the destruction of the Jews. And here he sees the destruction of the Gentiles, Revelation the 7th chapter. And I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. Winds means war and strife. That the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, or on any tree. Now, that's war holding. Isn't it interesting also that for some reason they're holding back? They're not going to start this World War III yet. We're not ready. We need to get ready. Brother Rance, the rapture will take place in the spring. I hope it's this coming spring. I hope we are ready by then. I hope that we get into the habit of praying at least three times a day, getting on our face before God. I hope we get to the point where we're listening to the vindicated voice of God in this hour on a regular basis and creating an atmosphere so that we're not even going to fuss in the houses. Not going to fuss with anybody. As Brother Branham said, and when we get to it in this series, it'll be, I think, around 118 or 119 in our series. We're going to talk about the Christian life. And Brother Branham says, you know, he says that the thing that really marks you, he says that when you're under pressure and people are throwing words and everything else your way, he said, like Jesus, you don't open your mouth. He answered them not. We need to get there. Okay. Paragraph 89 of the 10 versions, Brother Aaron said, now you see, and then all of Jerusalem was destroyed. Now this here is perfectly a parallel, Revelation 7. Now watch, from the time of the Titus besieging Jerusalem within the world, there hasn't been a time down through history that all the world went to war until 1914. And then questions and answers, Brother Aaron said, now, on four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. In other words, here went the winds, blowing in the wars and strife to come all over the world. When did this ever happen? Never until the First World War. Holding the winds. And they were striving, going in to take over. And now, here come another one. Now, if you watch and refer that angel, he's the same angel that come in Ezekiel 9 when the men come from hinder their gates with slaughtering weapons and was going through Jerusalem to slaughter the Jews. You remember, he said, hold it, stop it. till you go through the city and put a mark on every forehead that sighs and cries for the abomination done in the city. Is that right? Then after he did that, then he let them in on slaughter. That was the persecution under Titus. Now, you see, he's the same angel come forth again, coming forth from the east, from where Jesus shall come, and he has the seal of the living God. Glory. All right, so Ezekiel 9:4, just to read it. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abomination that is done in the midst of thereof. And to the others he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Where's it going to begin? Right in the churches. When it comes in the church, you're going to find you with a mark of Christ, the mark of God, the Holy Ghost, or is it going to find you wanting? Notice where the judgments are to begin. To those who have heard his word first, then how much ought we to be living this word, brethren? How ought we to be conducting our lives according to this message? I think that's what the big place in Alaska is all about. They're going to round up a bunch of these unbelievers, make believers, right in this message. First. Revelation 9:4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Sounds like that neutron bomb. Therefore, when God sends a prophet, a messenger, the messenger is a sign of impending doom. The prophet is a sign of the soon coming judgment. Now, from the voice of the sign, Brother Brown says, the coming of a prophet is a warning sign that judgment is at hand. Always has been. Let me just quote it now. Look at Noah rising up in the last days of the antediluvian world, a prophet prophesying. What was it? Judgment struck immediately after. Moses went into Egypt, a vindicated prophet with the sign of the prophet. What happened? Judgment struck Egypt right afterwards. Elijah come on the scene, the prophet, and prophesied to Ahab and that nation. What happened? Judgment struck right afterwards. And again from voice of the sign, notice the coming of the prophet is a warning sign of judgment at hand. Did you know that? Judgment is ready to strike. If there's a prophet in the land, remember, he certainly first got to be vindicated by God and the word for that day. Now watch, the coming of this prophet gives a sign of judgment is at hand always. Now, this is something the people knew in the 70s. And they've drifted from that. They got into, he didn't come in 77, so we might as well eat, drink, and be merry. And they got into vying for position to see who could outdo the next one with the bigger car, the more expensive things. Like Brother Cash told me, a fella he knew went to his church. He had something like, I don't remember, $40,000 or something like that he racked up, buying boats and everything else. You think he wasn't going to have to pay for it. 77 came and went, he had to pay for it. Now, therefore, we've seen thus far that in every age that God has sent a prophet, he sends him with a message, and that message is ordained for a small little group of predestinated individuals who are ordained to believe and receive the message. That is who the message is for. It is a message of safety, of salvation, of deliverance, to come into safety net of God, for judgment is about to strike. We have seen that when each gospel trumpet went forth, a war followed spiritually and then plagues. Now, since we have a message for each age, we also have a punishment for those who reject that message. Now, with each of those church ages, we have both a message and a plague that follow it. And I'd like to just show you this diagram for just a moment to see historically what has taken place. Notice in Paul, from 3 to 62, the Ephesian church age began in 53. The white horse went forth. It was a bluff. It had no bow. It had a bow, but no arrows. The Antichrist, it was, as Brother Bram, or the Bible calls, the Antichrist. At that time, Jerusalem was sacked. That's Matthew 24, 1 to 3, and 24, 15 to 20. The temple was destroyed. The people starved, and they ate their own children. Now, number two, we have Irenaeus right here, from 140 to 202. That was the Smyrnian church age. began in 170. It was a red horse conquering, and Brother Branham said there was the same horse, only it changed its tactics. Went from a doctrine to when that doctrine became manifested in the flesh of the Pope, he started exercising it. That's the blood. Stands for red. He was a false prophet. In that hour, the bubonic plague struck in Asia between 180 and 220, the Black Death, they called it. It began in Asia Minor. Millions died, but there was no official count. Then we had the Council of Nicaea, where they brought in the Trinity. Constantinople appoints the state church. Under Martin, 315 to 399, the Pergamian church age began in 312. The black horse brought forth death. It was the vicar was crowned. The Huns sacked Europe. The bubonic plague again. The 4th century, 90% fatality, 100 million people died. Under Columba, 521 to 597, Thyatira church age, 606 and on. The pale horse, the bubonic plague again came through. Black Death, 1348, 75 million people died. Luther, 1483 to 1546, the Sardisian church age, 1520. The bubonic plague, it wasn't the bubonic plague, it was actually tuberculosis, 17th century. Tuberculosis became the number one plague, killing 1 in 4 people worldwide. Then we have the, under Wesley, 1703 to 1791, the Philadelphia church age, which is 1750 up to 1906, Azusa Street. Baptism of the Holy Spirit was rejected. Spanish influenza, it killed 37 to 40 million people, but 1 billion people were infected. TB was also a plague at this time. And during this age, 31 pandemics of influenza killed millions worldwide. 1894, the last plague pandemic, Asia through Africa, Australia. And then 9.4 million people died in World War I. 1909, 1965, William Branham, later seen church age, 1906, until we're gone. The seventh angel, seven seals, seven vials, the seven plagues. The World Health Organization said 300 million people died in 2005 of different pandemics. In 1995, 3 million people died, one per second, 31.5 million people per year. In Revelation 9:15, one third of the world will die. I have an article from a friend of mine who was he worked for Merck. He had attended a Florida conference in 2005, and where 200 of the top scientists in the world gathered together, and they're expecting, they said, at any time, a pandemic that'll basically wipe out this planet. So. We're looking at, Brother Vail and I sat after we went over this. We sat for many sessions. We talked about the plagues of Egypt. We talked about the seven plagues. We talked about the different plagues during the ages, trying to figure out maybe what's coming. I think he felt like one of them would be the pandemic based on the animal meat. But also tuberculosis is coming back. It's interesting when they thought they got rid of smallpox. One of the Russians found a dead body up in the North Pole someplace, and they brought it back. It had died from smallpox, and now they've got smallpox again in the nations are breeding it. And in fact, there's some quotes where Brother Branham said that the nations will go to germ warfare, and we're seeing evidence of it now in Syria. All right, from seven church ages, when the sixth one sounded, I'll just go ahead and flip that off again. When the sixth one sounded, we'll get back on that, maybe the sealing away on Friday night. When the First World War, the sixth trumpet sounded exactly according to the time God spoke of it, exactly, geographically, following the seal before that. And when the mystery was revealed in there for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the people then, how the church did not move up, and those who were moving refused to walk in the light and went back, and the plague was opened at that time and poured out upon the earth, which was influenza. And that killed all the people as it did, the thousand times thousands, and then coming down in this last age where we're, and just come and listen what the Lord has to say about it in His Word. Now, that isn't my makeup. I'm just reading it like a newspaper right out of the Word of God. See? So this is His direct revelation to the church, the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. So Brother Branham himself stated what that pandemic was. He said it was the influenza. From Revelation chapter 5, part 2, when the first seal was opened up, the first trumpet sounded and the first plague fell. When the sixth seal opened up, the sixth sounded and the sixth plague fell. Just watch. Just watch it. It's the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen. And when I do, I'm going to get me a big, a great big blackboard, bring it up here and just teach it right across here so that we can just take plenty of time on each seal and go back and take up the history and things and prove just exactly what happened and show right here in the Bible when it said that it would take place and right exactly when it happened, just the date and everything else. I got it. See, got it from him. That's right. Well, I can't say that I got it from him, although I got the most of it from Brother Branham, which got it from him. But I had to go to a lot of sources to find what those major pandemics were. I hope it matches what he had. Some of it did, but some of it he didn't tell us. But anyway, from Feast of the Trumpets, he said, read in your book here and see it that between the sixth and seventh trumpet isn't injected in there with the Jews being called out. Between the sixth and seventh plague. We come over with that 144,000. You remember them, which was between that. Do you remember between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there was a calling out of the 144,000. You remember that. Now, there's where the trumpets come and persecution of the horses is loosed on there. Then between that, then there was to be the seventh angel's message that had been preaching and condemning the Pentecostals and Jesus had been put out. Would have no cooperation with nobody. He was put out on the outside, rejected. The Bible says so, for it's Christ made manifest among us, Jesus among us, all made manifest in the purity of his word, making it known. And this is not makeup, friends. This is thus saith the Lord. It's the scripture. All right, just a few more pages. We'll close. So if we're to follow through with this and what we've already laid out by scripture, then the last angel doesn't have just one plague, but all seven. As we shall see in the scripture, Revelation 17:1 says, and there came forth one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. So one angel with seven vials and talked with me saying, come unto me, come hither. I will show you thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And notice this one angel has all seven vials and he is the one who pronounces judgment on the great whore church and her harlot daughters. If that wasn't done in this hour, I don't know who did. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, plural. Notice how this one angel shows mercy first by shouting forth a message for those who are in there to come out from there before it's too late. Mercy, then judgment. Revelation 18:8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now here we see the plagues will befall this whore church and her daughter churches, spiritual death, physical death, mourning, famine, and then burning. Revelation 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me saying, come hither, I will show unto thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now notice that this same angel he actually showed the bride. All right, so the same angel who's got the seven vials, now he's showing you the bride. What angel had the presentation of the bride? William Branham. Now, what are these last seven plagues? Could they be the six plagues that have already been loosed upon the earth? Only time will tell. As Brother Branham said, only God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. In Revelation 19:5 tells us 1/3 of the world will be killed by these plagues. That means nearly 2 billion people this time around. In fact, it'll be more than that by now because we're up to about 7 billion. Brother Branham told us that what the seventh plague was, he said, that's spiritual death. So we know one of the plagues is spiritual death. And we've already seen that plague has taken out the churches. And there are nearly 2 billion people that claim to be Christians today. And the people are spiritually dead everywhere you look. And it has come right into this message because, remember, judgment begins in the house of God. And let's face it, that is what judgment is all about. Those who are closest to the door without entering in are in the greatest danger of all because they had known better. Which reminds me of what Brother Vail told that one sister who was spouting off how she wasn't responsible because she didn't know. And he said, you're wrong. He said, you are responsible, therefore you had better know. And ignorance is no excuse when the judgments of God begin to fall. From the oncoming storm of judgment, he said, we see the newspapers and the oncoming storm. When you go home tonight, do me a favor. Don't go to bed until you read the Revelation, the 8th chapter. You see the oncoming plagues and storms that shall hit the earth. So we've been talking about that a whole lot. And thunders and lightning are going to shake the heavens. Woes are going to pass over this nation. Men will rot in their flesh. Diseases will strike them that doctors know nothing about. But remember, before that took place, there was a sealing went forth, and the death angel and the plagues was commissioned by God, don't come near any of those who has been sealed in their forehead. And the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. No matter how hard the ark rocked, no matter how many times the lightning struck close to it, 10,000 shall fall at your right hand and thousands to your left, and it shall not come nigh thee. The Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. No matter how hard that ark rocked, no matter how many times the lightning struck, it won't come nigh thee. A couple more. Jezebel religion. When God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servant and he sends plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think that you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival. You just wait after a bit. You just wait, long and cry, and hear the word of the Lord. The Bible says so. There'll be famine in the last days, said the prophet, and not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere hid away. And from Israel at the Red Sea. Now we're coming down to the last plague. Last thing God said, I'm tired of fooling around. I'm going to give the last plague. Now I want you to notice the last plague was death. Now we've just had earthquakes. We've had wars and rumors of wars. We've had tidal waves. As Jesus said, there would be the seas roaring, man's hearts failing for fear, number of diseases, fear, perplexed time, distress of the nations. Horseless carriages in the Broadway, all these things fulfilled, but the last plague is death. Not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, death. Spiritually to the church, or in the church. You notice it was amongst the sons, spiritual death. The church has got more members than it ever has had, thriving better than it ever has had, and yet the weakest in spirit that it ever has been. That's true. That's just like it was in Egypt. And at Israel at Kadesh Barnea said, now, notice, then God, after fixing Moses, getting him ready, sent out the signs. Then the last signs he taken last night was death. And we found out that spiritual death in the church, the last plague now, churches drying up, blowing away. That's right. We're living in a horrible time. How that the church, the old timers that used to really have the victory, is losing out, dying out, dying time. Letting the blood get off the front of the door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And from God's provided way, he said, Moses took God's provided way when they were down there in Egypt. How are they going to get out? God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. But he said, now, I'm going to make a way of escape because I'm going to send death over the land. Say, listen, here's something striking. Watch, plague after plague after plague. But the last plague fell was death just before the deliverance. Now notice it, how striking it is today. Jesus said, there'll be a perilous time shall come, men's hearts would fail. How that he said that they distress between nations and sea roaring, tidal waves that never been heard of before, bursting forth in the seas. How that in all these things, signs would be coming to pass, just like it was in the days of Noah. It would be again, how marvelous. But remember, the last plague that fell was death. And the last thing, God has given us a warning after warning after warning. Now the last thing that's come is death, spiritual death. The churches are dying spiritually. We've seen it. It's time to shake ourselves. Now we know that the seventh plague is spiritual death. And we know for certain that this has taken place. But remember also the spiritual comes before the natural. The thought must come before the action. And therefore the spiritual death takes place before the actual dying out in the flesh begins. Then how close are we, especially as we sit here this evening and know that there are people that are walking, they're walking dead, filled with these last age plagues, and their flesh is rotting away as they try to live. And what about the rest of those vials? There were seven vials exposed during the seven church ages. And to think 37 to 40 million people were killed just because the church rejected the revelation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then how much greater will the punishment for rejecting the baptizer himself, the Holy Ghost? We've seen that the black plague, it went forth just as the seals revealed the black horse turning into pale horse riding forth, and he was called death. Revelation 16 and 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. which hath power over them plagues. And these repented not to give him glory. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plagues thereof was exceedingly great. And in Zechariah 14 and 12, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have forgotten, that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That could be the atomic, what's happening in not Chernobyl, but over here in Fukushima. It's heading our way. From five junctions of time, one day, the Bible says that things will break out on the earth and diseases and things, and all the people will be plagued till the flesh shall rot on them and so forth. But the Bible says, don't you come near any of those who has the seal of God on their forehead, and the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. From adoption or placing, you said you think cancer is something. The Bible said there's coming a time when men will rot right in their flesh and the buzzards will eat off their carcasses before they even die. Cancer is a toothache to what's coming. But remember, that horrible thing was forbidden in that day to touch those who had the seal of God. That's what they were striving for now, to get in and positionally place in the kingdom of God before these horrible plagues struck. And from Revelation chapter 4, war. This is the setting of the great battle. The people that rejected God's message, rejected the Holy Spirit, the messenger of the seven churches, the one that had rejected this message of his grace had nothing left, but judgment was ready. All right, he's making ready to pour out the plagues upon the earth now. Come up hither and I'll show you what's fixing to take place. Christ rejecting godless sinners, I'm going to pour out my wrath upon them. But listen, we have a hope like no other people have. Because God promised in Psalm 91 and 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. In Psalm 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, do you believe that he's still here? If you don't, you're on your own. I believe that thing, whatever they want to call it, that showed himself in Africa, is the same pillar of fire that Brother Brown said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. He is leading us. Are we following? Let's bow our heads in prayer. And gracious Father, we realize, Lord, the handwriting is on the wall. We see the signs of all these things coming forth, and knowing from a vindicated prophet, knowing from a vindicated word, we see all the scripture, all the quotes from the prophet, that we are at the end time. Oh God, if we do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I pray that we would just stay on our knees day and night, yes, until we are certain that we are filled with your Spirit. And then let us not be satisfied with an anointing in the flesh or anointing in the Spirit, but let it come down to the soul. To the place, Lord, where our soul hungers and thirsts for righteousness, and knowing that if it does so, it shall be filled. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord shed his light upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace.